All right, hi everyone. Thank you all for joining us. It's good to see you, and we're going to go ahead and jump in. So, this is Thursday, December 5th, 2024, and this is Dr. Will Tuttle. Madeline and I send our greetings from the road. We're on our tour. We're in our little micro van today. We had a wonderful event last night with Kathy Christian, who's with us here in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Kathy. Good to see you. And a few days before that, we were in Sedona. We were in Oklahoma City. And then before that, in Sedona and in Prescott, Arizona, we saw Aradhana. Hi, Aradhana. Good to see you there again. And before that, we were in Las Vegas. And before that, in Sacramento. And before that, we were in our home. So, yeah, we're just kind of still in the beginning. We've been on the road now, what, maybe 2 weeks, something like that, I guess, a couple of weeks. And we have one more Sunday, and then we'll be heading to Florida. So it's really cold right now in Huntsville. It's expected to go down to 19 degrees here tonight. So we're ready for that in our little van. I'll show you how it looks. Maybe if you want to have a quick look. It's tiny. We live on what is it? 5 feet wide by 7 feet long. That's our rolling home we live in for 5 months. So behind me are the curtains that Madeline made that separate. This is the like the front where we drive, but we close that up quickly. It gets cold up here. Anywhere. But yeah, this is it. I mean, I don't know if you can see anything. This is turning it around, and there's Madeline. She's knitting. Those are clothes. And then we keep turning, and then this is the back. Is that the back? I can't even tell. Yeah, this is the back. And then we keep turning. And this is my clothes over here, and then the window, and then here we are back again. So that's it.
I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
You know, it's really fun. It's like I always say, it's like it gives us understanding for the factory farm chickens who are, you know, stuck in a little cage.
Yeah.
But we we're much better off. We can actually open the door and get out usually, except, you know, now when we're on the road and we're not staying with someone, which quite often we do, but like now we're in between events, so we're in the parking lot of a hotel. And they don't know we're here. I mean, we're just here, sort of, they call it stealth. So this is a stealth parking. And so we don't go out. We just lock the doors, we pull the blinds, and we act like we're just a car. The thing is, this thing is so tiny. No one could ever imagine there's anyone in here, you know. It's so really easy to get by. It's the size of we can fit in any compact, you know, when you have a compact car, you know, parking, we fit in there no problem. So anyway, so that's it. We're just starting our 5 month tour, and we'll be doing a couple of events this weekend in Chattanooga, and then on Monday in Atlanta, and then driving down to Florida, and then starting up in Hippocrates toward the end of the month. So it's great to be on the road. We're enjoying it a lot, and like I always say, I'm really lucky to share a small space with a pretty girl here. It's really great, so I have no problem. And Madeline is, yeah. And Madeline, you're okay, right?
I'm fine.
Yeah, she's fine.
I'm under like a dozen covers, like a sleeping bag and poncho and lots of clothes underneath. So, but very soon in Florida, I will be in the tank top.
In the bikini, right?
with Lisa Wong there. And where is April?
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Andy.
So So she's knitting as fast as possible so she can knit something to stay warm. You know, that's the thing. So. Anyway. Yeah, you know, there's an old Zen saying that I always remind us, which is the Zen saying goes, in the summer I sweat, in the winter I shiver, right?
And
That's it. So you don't worry about it. You know, in the summer, you know, in the summer it's hot, you sweat. In the winter, they didn't have thermostats back then. You know, they actually knew what it was like to be uncomfortable, and they didn't mind it that much. So that's my practice. Just
live with
it. Madam wants to show a little secret. This is her secret. She wants to show. Yeah.
In the house, if you're cold, this is a hot water bottle, like with little vestment. And this is it. And you put like really hot water in here. And then you have this clothing on the water bottle. And then you put this in your bed. And you're really warm. I can promise. This is a great thing to have.
Yeah, that's her best friend.
Yeah.
Really.
After
you know, right after me, but I don't know. She likes that kind of freedom, but. But you know, it's really a great idea. She uses it at the house too, and it saves on energy costs, right? You just heat up a little water, and you don't have to run the heaters, you know. So it's that's great. So we have two batteries that I installed in the van here that are charged up when we drive down the road, and so we have an inverter, and we can run a little water. Hot water thing, you know, one of those things you stick in water that heats up water, you know, that heats it right up to boiling even if you want. And then we have another little tiny space heater that we can run a few minutes in the morning to take the edge off, but that's about, that's it. So tomorrow morning is unusual. Usually it's been around 30 degrees in the morning, and which isn't too bad, but now it's 19. This will be the coldest morning we have on the whole tour. So anyway, we're happy. It'll survive, I'm sure. So, you have a question, somebody?
Where did you say you are again?
Huntsville, Alabama. You know, and I would think in Huntsville it wouldn't be that cold. It's in Alabama, but the Canadians left the door open, and this Arctic blast came zooming down here. And, you know, I actually lived in Huntsville in 1975. You know, my brother and I walked all the way, actually in 76. We arrived here in 76 at a Zen center here in Huntsville. So I have a whole history here. And always in the past, when we came to Huntsville, I would give a talk to the local vegan group. But the local vegan group seems to have collapsed. They just don't have anybody doing anything. So it's really weird to be here and not be doing an event. Because this is one of my favorite little towns, but we're not doing anything because it seems like everybody's, their emails don't work and they're not meeting. And the COVID really has taken a big toll on a lot of the local vegan groups. Unfortunately, they're not as active as they used to be. So it's made it a little harder for us to work together with the local groups to do our events to promote veganism. But maybe, hopefully, maybe the next time they'll be back up on their feet again. I guess we'll see. But anyway, that's the situation for us. So we're back in Huntsville. Last time we were here, when I really was here in 1976, it was a little tiny town. Now it's this really big, big Whole Foods. And you know, before there was this little tiny health food store called Pearly Gates with a bunch of hippies, and now it's corporate America. But we're, you know, like I say, we're glad. But let's go ahead and get started with our meditation. That's really the point here, and I don't want to babble on too long before we jump into the meditation. So let's go ahead and I don't have the piano, unfortunately, so we'll just do this one a cappella. And get comfortable, please, and we'll go ahead and have our... I see some notes here. 20 degrees in North Florida. 70? 70 degrees in North Florida. 20 degrees in Michigan. 25 in Kansas. Wow. And you get to snuggle. Yeah, right. That maybe. we're right close to each other. I think it helps for sure. Yeah. All right. So here we go. Let's start our meditation. And... taking a few moments to turn our attention within here and give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have to connect more deeply with the inner light that is shining always in our heart, that's shining in every cell of our being, and that is shining at the very heart of the universe and at the very core of this beautiful planet, the Earth. In the heart of all the animals all living beings, the life that lives through all of us. And we give thanks for this precious opportunity of a human life that we can do our best to connect with the essence of the spiritual teachings of compassion, of ahimsa, of respect and kindness for other living beings, for awakening to the infinite consciousness that is the source of what we are, that is our true nature, actually. And we give thanks for all of our brothers and sisters who are working together in a community that transcends time and space in order to raise awareness and bring healing and awakening into our shared relations, into our world. And so feeling our connection with each other now and giving thanks for each and everyone who is with us on this Zoom call. Thank you all for taking time out of what I know are very busy schedules with lots of pressing obligations and so forth to come together and to celebrate the mission and purpose that we share to build a bridge to a future that is filled with beauty and justice and freedom and creativity for us and for our children. And building this bridge to this positive future, every day we can lay a few bricks. And these bricks are not physical, they're metaphysical, essentially. They're in understanding that what we are is essentially non-corporeal, that we are eternal consciousness, and we share that with the beings we refer to as animals. And so as we understand this more deeply, we can shine our light of understanding, and it manifests as a life that we that looks like on the outside as veganism, where we do our best to minimize voting for products that cause harm and abuse to other living beings, and not using and eating and wearing and attending any kind of products or events that cause suffering to other to animals or to other human beings, and do our best to be kind and loving to each other and to all expressions of life, and also to develop discernment to increase our wisdom so that we're not fooled by the massive waves of deception that are washing over our society every day, and that we can maintain our integrity and our steadfast loyalty to the highest truth, which is that we are all related, and that all living beings are included within the sphere of our kindness and concern. So we resist the temptation to allow agendas that divide and demean and harm the integrity of not only our bodies, but of our relationships. So let's just take a moment now together and breathe in the silence that we share. And breathing the breath of life that nurtures every cell. It's amazing that we can breathe in, and that within just milliseconds, life-giving oxygen is streaming through thousands and thousands of miles of passageways, of blood vessels, and going to millions and billions and literally trillions of cells that are all working together for one purpose, so that we can awaken and share and contribute and shine the light that is our unique gift to bring to the world. So we have this massive community of enormous intelligence that is working together, that has been given to us as a vehicle to shine our light of kindness through our body, speech, and mind. And we give thanks that we are able to understand this and to do our best to be worthy of this precious vehicle that we have for just a few precious short decades. Every moment there are people entering the stage on planet Earth and exiting the stage on planet Earth, and we ourselves have entered and we ourselves will be exiting. And so while we're here, we have the freedom to unfold the flower that we are. If we take that freedom, and as we take that freedom, and as we allow ourselves to respond to the inner calling that is always leading us to a more conscious and aware state of being. And we give thanks for all the other human beings who have gone before us, who have awakened and who have left behind precious clues and hints and teachings and examples of the practices that we can engage in. The great sages and saints and mystics and poets and wise men and women and people of all traditions who have learned to question the testimony of the physical senses and realize that there is far more to this world than just the material level, and who live to bring this awareness of the truth of our being, that we're not just material objects that were born and will die. And so we especially now hold our vegan movement in our thoughts, the movement for the liberation of animals. May this movement continue to grow and to become ever more united, to allow the diversity and to celebrate the diversity of approaches, to learn the healthy sense of respect that we have for each other and for all living beings to flow through our movement, so that everyone is free to bring the message of compassion and kindness for animals and for ecosystems in the way that they feel is appropriate for them, trusting our inner wisdom to do so. And we give thanks also knowing that every day we ourselves are becoming clearer and more discerning about the best way for us to share this message, to embody this message of compassion for all living beings. And then finally, let's join together and radiate into our world the essence of our true home. There are countless living beings right now on planet Earth who are suffering physically and or psychologically or socially, spiritually. So now as we exhale, let's send forth our loving kindness to all living beings who may be having difficulties, who may be transitioning and leaving their bodies, or who may be in confusion or despair, just sending our love with every exhalation. And as we inhale, we engender this feeling of loving kindness so that it fills every cell of our being, so that we are a living manifestation of loving kindness for all beings, even if they are difficult for us or cause us problems in various ways. We understand that people who are wounded may harm others, not understanding, and so we send them our love and understanding, just breathing and radiating loving kindness in ever-expanding spheres of light, filling the whole world with loving kindness, with the truth of love and awareness, and abiding in our true home of love. engendering the feeling of compassion, yearning that others be free from suffering and the causes of suffering, the ignorance and delusion that causes suffering. We radiate compassion in all directions, abiding in our true home of compassion for all beings, free of condemnation and judgment, breathing and radiating compassion, abiding in our true home of compassion. And we send compassion and love to all beings, including ourself, the unique and beautiful and powerful being that we are, giving thanks for this expression, knowing that what we are is far greater than the outer appearance. And then we now connect with the feeling of joy. This is the great joy that is our true nature, the joy of being and of the possibilities that we have to fulfill a higher calling and to experience the whole range of possibilities in the universe and in the infinite numbers of universes. So with every exhalation now, we just radiate joy into the entire web of life here on planet Earth. Just see that we're all interconnected as a web of light in this circle that we're part of, and through this circle to countless other circles of all relations. And just from our heart, breathing forth the light of joy, reminding everyone of the basic joy that comes when we realize that there's nothing in the outer world that can either harm us or ultimately help us, that what we are is the sky within which everything is arising. Breathing and radiating joy, the joy of being, letting that overflow from our heart so that we know in our bones that joy is our true nature. Joy that needs no outer reasons. And finally, we connect with the deep feeling of peace and harmony that is always in our heart, no matter what's happening in the outer world. Whatever it is, if it has a beginning, it will have an ending. So we let everything go now and just abide for a moment in this feeling of peace, and the peace of our true nature, that embraces the experience we're having here from a higher perspective. And seeing the whole earth now bathed in the light of peace and harmony, that is the ultimate truth, that all beings are at peace at the deepest core of our being. And so now just radiating peace in all directions, abiding in peace, abiding in harmony in our true home. Breathing and radiating loving kindness. Breathing and radiating compassion. Breathing and radiating joy. Breathing and radiating peace. Abiding in our true nature, our true home eternally, in love, compassion, joy, and peace. And so we come back now to our shared space together here and give thanks for each other and for the aspiration that we share, the yearning that we share to bring the highest level of consciousness to the problems that we're facing on this earth so that we can be a vehicle for the liberation of animals, the liberation of humans, liberation of ourselves, knowing that what we are actually already is completely free. And as we understand that, our blessing flows forth in all directions. So thank you all very much for joining in our time of meditation. I'd like to go ahead and thank you, bless you, and open it up now. We have a little time. I do want to say here that we are operating everything just on battery power and on the slender little tiny cord here that's connecting my computer to my cell phone, and that's connected to I don't know what up there that's making this possible. We don't normally ever do this. I don't have a Wi-Fi or anything, so we're just doing it this way. And it may at any moment just collapse. So if it does, we'll understand what happened. But we'll try to go, if we can, the whole time, but we might have to end a little early. We'll have to see how it goes. So it's good to see you all. I'd love to hear if there's any particular, let's see. There's a few things I see here in the comments. Chef AJ has lung cancer. Pray for her. Yes, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there's quite a few people right now that could use our prayers. I'd like to, yeah, like we can mention Chef AJ. I just found out about that recently also. We were in Sacramento, actually, on the 22nd. So that was about 2 weeks ago when we first started. The very first day we left and went on our tour, and we gave a lecture in Sacramento. And Chef AJ had promised that she would be at our lecture, and she wasn't. And it was because of her recent diagnosis with cancer, and she's dealing with that and going to, you know, all kinds of doctor's appointments and things. And so we missed seeing her at that event, but we found out about it then. And I think you're right. I mean, I think it's important to hold loving and truthful thoughts, seeing the true nature of all of us. And I didn't watch the video. I watched a little bit of it. She made a video, apparently, of, you know, her concern that she's been kind of hiding this for a long time. She's known that she could have lung cancer, I guess, but now she found out for sure. And I guess there's always that concern, you know, as a vegan who's putting it out there, as she does, the health aspect of it is her main thing. And so there's that concern that people will say, oh, you're a vegan and you're eating, you know, no sugar, no oil, no salt. And here you are, now you have cancer. So I think it's one of those things. Of course, I did, you know, I did ask. I mean, I didn't ask, my friend told me that as far as she knows, she did not take the vaccine, because that's the first thing you think of. Well, she probably got vaccinated. But apparently she did not. So, but apparently there's maybe other things going on. Who knows? She apparently, when she was younger, lived in a lot of places that were kind of toxic and was pretty unhealthy and all that, you know, in her younger years. So who knows? But I think, like in my new book, which just came out a couple of days ago, we had the announcement and it's available. I should mention that. Now, our new book, The World Peace Way, is now available on Amazon from now until the 15th. You probably already know this, but anyway, for only half price, in hoping that you will read it and maybe leave a review, because I found out over the years, having some positive reviews really makes a big difference when people are considering, you know, buying a book. And so if you have a chance, if you could do that, I would really appreciate it, just to leave a review. You can just go to The World Peace Way on Amazon. And anyway, so as I talk about in that in the book, there's the six keys to health and harmony for all. Nutrition or diet is huge. It's really important, but it's by far not the only aspect. And one can be eating the most perfectly healthy food, I think, and still have emotional toxicity or in relationship toxicity of various kinds. And there's lots of other things. I mean, there's all kinds of what we're reading, and if we're getting exercise and fresh air and sunshine, and if we're living a purpose and having a connection with nature, and I go into all these different aspects that really, I think, work together to build a foundation for radiant health for ourselves and for our society. And I think that that's a takes a lot of weight off of people who feel that if we're vegans and we're eating a healthy diet, then everyone who's not a vegan is looking at us with a very critical eye, just waiting to pounce. if anything happens, then see, that's just because you're a vegan, you're not feeling well. You know, they would love to be able to do that, you know. So Madeline and I do our best that doesn't happen, but, you know, it's just the way it is. But I think this new book, The World Peace Way, it's a small book. It's just a little, it's just like, I don't know. For me, it's only 200 pages or less, maybe 150 or something, 180. It's a pretty easy, I think, read. And it's just packed with actual practical tips. That's the idea. Instead of being like the other books about the why, it's more about the how. So thank you so much, Susan, for reminding us about Chef AJ. We send our prayers. She's a wonderful person. I mean, I've always enjoyed her. We've known her for years. But she's very wired. I mean, she's kind of hyper. So I think, I don't know, who knows? But anyway, and then I think all these things, you know, when we're at Hippocrates, people come through with all kinds of conditions. And Brian Clement always says that diet's important, exercise is important, but more important than either one of those is the consciousness and the attitude and how our mind is functioning. That's really what builds and creates the cells of our being moment by moment by moment. So that's why meditation, I think, and spiritual practice are so important as a foundation for healthy living. And I have no idea about her or other people, really. That's something that's very personal. But again, the most important thing, really, I think, is to just do our best while we're here and support each other. And I do want to, I'll just mention one other person. She's, you know, none of you know her, but Madeline and I are connected to her, me especially. Her name is Diane. And she's now 85. Diane Esterly, she lives in North Carolina. And we met through the music. I play the piano, as you know, and we started doing these individual sessions for people. And she, more than anyone on planet Earth, has commissioned me and us. Madeline does art too, but especially she has me do the music. To do, I don't know how many. I mean, it's been such a beautiful relationship. This woman is really unusual. You know, she lives with a very conservative husband, and she has three kids, and she's in North Carolina, kind of in the country. And she dyes her hair rainbow colors, and she wears all these T-shirts that are completely zany. She's like the ultimate epitome of a zany, you know, I don't know how to describe her, but she's just a very free-spirited person. And she heard me play the piano, I guess, and then she asked me to make a CD for her back in the days when it was cassettes. And so I did one, and then I did another one for her and her husband. I did another one for her and her friend. I did another one for her grandson and her other grandson and her daughter. And then I started doing them for her dogs and her home and her daughter, and then her daughter for her horse. I mean, we did so many for animals, for her and her daughter, Kristen. And so she loves the book. She loves the World Peace Diet. She loves Food for Freedom. But I don't think she's a vegan. You know, I think she's living with, I just don't think so. I don't know. But anyway, she went just a couple of days ago. She went, and I just did another one and sent it to her. And she hadn't had a chance to hear it yet. It was one, she has a beach house right on the coast of North Carolina. She's 85. She's really been under the weather lately. And so I was doing music to try, and she said the music was healing her. You know, she was so, I was getting emails every day that the music is healing me, your music is healing me. And she would send me these emails that were just incredible. And you know, she said, I have tears are flowing, the music is healing me, I'm healed, I'm healed. and then she went to this wedding of her grandson, and I guess she ate something, you know, it's so ironic, this big celebration. She went there right after, and she hadn't listened to my newest music that I mailed to her, that I did for her specially. And then she ended up eating something, and she's in the hospital, and now in ICU, and then they put her on a ventilator. And then, you know, and she didn't get vaccinated, but I think they did tests, you know, the tests are bad as the vaccine sometimes. And then And now just today, just a few hours ago, we got the text that she's in hospice. They're not going to save her. She's going, you know, and her daughter is heartbroken, of course. And so we're trying to help her. But such a beautiful, vivid, amazing relationship we've had for like 35 years, you know, through the music. It's been amazing. It's just been a huge, huge thing in the background. Always this very bright, positive woman. She and Madeline, we both know, we've met her. She came to some of our concerts when we were in Greensboro, North Carolina and stuff. But anyway, so she's just passing on and leaving, you know, I think leaving a real legacy too. But that's what we do. You know, we come here and I think it's very inspiring to see people like her who just live this life where she doesn't really care what people think of her. She just is herself, you know, and and it was so encouraging. I mean, it's been so great for me to just create all this music and have someone just love it, you know, just like be overwhelmed with. I mean, if you saw, I have like literally hundreds of emails just raving about how the music is healing. Emails, yeah, and letters. Yeah, Madeline says, yeah, letters. She writes these long letters. I get these envelopes like this thick of writing. I mean, she's the rainbow. Yeah, rainbows and hearts, and we had so much fun. I mean, we had so much fun. Her whole thing was the hokey pokey. You know, we do the hokey pokey, and you put the left foot in, the right foot in, and that's what we're doing on planet Earth. We're all doing the hokey pokey. You know, she's from a generation a little bit older than I am, but she remembers all those old songs, and I just think it's so precious. You know, when you to get to know someone so well, even though you hardly ever see them, but just through the music, right? Just through the shared connection that we have somehow on some other level. That it makes life worthwhile, you know. I think these kind of deep, supportive connections. So we'll send her. We've been sending her our prayers as well. And that's the thing, you know. We come onto this earth and we do our song and our dance for a few decades, and then we it doesn't go on forever. That's why it's so precious. But anyway, Gino, you have your hand up. I'd be happy to invite you to unmute, please. And
yeah, thank you, thank you. Just a few things. One, yes, I agree wholeheartedly with, you know, people are watching us that are non-vegans, you know, oh, he got sick. He's supposed to be 100% perfect all the time. Meanwhile, they have all these diseases and things are going on with them. But no, of course, if we do one thing, then, you know, vegan's bad. It's crazy stuff. But that's just yet another disc. What can we say? And then as far as like Chef AJ and other vegans, we're all capable of still getting sick, obviously. We could have a really bad diet, junk food or whatever. Some of it, I believe, is genetic. However, genetics, a lot of that can be circumvented by a very healthy vegan diet. We know that. I, for one, you know, tend to have high cholesterol, and so does the rest of my family. And when I'm mindful of my eating, cholesterol goes down. It's fine, right? So there's that. And then, you know, you can have some people who are meat eaters and they're smoking cigarettes and they're still alive at 100. And I go, what? How in the world is that? And again, I think maybe that has something to do with genetics. I don't know. But in terms of Chef AJ and other brilliant, wonderful people like that, and I'm experiencing that myself, although I don't put myself on their level. Well, in some ways I do. But anyway, what was I going to say about that? Yeah, there are so many other things that enter the body that have nothing to do with your food.
Right.
A lot of it has to do with your consciousness. A lot of it has to do with your past. A lot of it has to do with even if you've worked hard on your inner self, there's still maybe blind spots that you're still carrying. Your cells react to these things, you know. And so I've been having some issues the last couple of years. And I thought, you know, I've done so much work on myself and I haven't stopped and I won't. But I have in more recent times, I've been spending a lot more time at home. And watching all kinds of conferences and speakers and all these great people. Then I ran into a particular group that I'm really getting a lot from. And now I'm really starting to look at, you know, well, what is it that I'm carrying with me that's having me create these diseases, or not diseases, but illnesses in my body. I don't have anything like, diabetes or anything like that. But what is happening here? I should be radiantly healthy and wonderful and out there like fully in charge or something. But and I am beginning to find things, and I'm beginning to see how I can evolve to being a human, the kind of human that we've all been talking about, that needs to be their consciousness has to be at a level where we can change the world, right, with others. And I am beginning to really notice differences in my personality and how I'm being, how I'm talking with people, and it's very effective, and it's only going to get better the more I do this. So without doing all of that, who knows? Maybe I will continue to get sicker and sicker and sicker, and good gene, is suddenly gone, in a couple of years. It could happen, but I'm not going to let that happen. So, I mean, there's so much involved in all of that. It's just not your food,
Yeah, you're talking about your inner process, right? Your like how you show up in the world, and then your like you say your personality, how that's been changing as you're working. I mean, you're working, but you're a pretty spiritually oriented person. The
Yes.
longer I've known you, I've always felt
Yes.
that you're not just a vegan activist. You have a spiritual practices that,
100%, you're right.
yeah.
And but yet, like I was saying before, I think that we all carry things from the past,
Right.
and I can even think of, things I've done to animals in the past. And whenever I think of that, it's like, if something goes into my, just stabs me in the heart. And I say, well, I know all of these things now. I can use the tools to get through that, get over it, move on. And I do. Yet it's still there, right? It's going to come back again and again and again. So there are certain things, or, maybe my parents when I was young, or my sister, or whatever, we carry these things.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with our health as well.
Right. Thank you. Thanks so much for sharing that. It's we were in Little Rock yesterday. We were talking a little bit about the fact that we can have trauma, right, when we're younger, and the trauma, it doesn't just like disappear, right? I mean, like it goes into our body, and then it's we need to heal that, work with it, and I guess everybody, it's a unique process. It needs to, in some ways, come up and be processed and so forth. And if it doesn't, it can work against us in a lot of ways in terms of our physical health and mental health. So that's why I think inner work is so important, and maybe breath work and clean food, detoxification, in general. On every level, and that's what I talk. I talk about that in the new book quite a bit. Like not only food, but skin creams and laundry detergents, and what we're reading, and our thoughts and our relationships. I mean, there's so many levels that toxins kind of come into us from on all these different levels, electromagnetic fields. I mean, there's all these things. But then there's our experiences from the past that you're talking about. I think that we've all been wounded. We've had some people have what they feel are really major traumas. Other people have medium-sized, but everybody has at least some like traumas, things that happen. Like, oh no, that kid beat me up in third grade. I was so embarrassed. I wet my pants, or who knows what. And so, I mean, all these things, and we still feel ashamed maybe about that, and we're still. That's why I think meditation's a really helpful and important aspect. But again, everybody has their own path of meditation, and I think some people, if they have pretty severe trauma, have a hard time with meditation because bring up too much at once. I'm not an expert in that field, but I've heard that. So this is really a path of healing, I think, primarily, and I really appreciate you sharing that a little bit, because I think that's something for all of us to be sensitive to in ourselves and in other people, because we have a tendency to just judge people when they act a certain way. We don't realize that, when people are hurt and traumatized, then they very often act in ways that are harmful to us or to other people that we care about, or to the movement. And so we're all on a path of healing. And I think now, I mean, to me, it seems like there's in some ways more trauma than ever. I mean, I think a lot of kids now are traumatized by all kinds of things. I mean, just the sexualization of children and the amount of violence and pornography that you can see on the internet and where, who knows where. I mean, there's so much technology that's harmful. I think it's on purpose too, a lot of it, because you know, when people get traumatized, then they're much more easily controlled. They're not so stable and they need medications or whatever. And it's a whole system that was poisoning us deliberately, I think, in many ways, so that we can be more easily controlled. So it's really important for us, I think, to understand that and do our best to detoxify our own consciousness and our bodies and help others to do the same thing. And to me, that's something to celebrate. You know, try not to think of it as a heavy, bad thing. Just think, okay, you know, we're in a situation where this is happening, so we can support each other and be happy that we can support each other and really cultivate a sense of gratitude and joy that we have this life and that it has. You've heard me say this metaphor probably because it came to me recently of a gymnasium, right? You know, you come to the earth and it's not just this gymnasium where they only have 5 pound weights and 3 pound weights. You've got like these, you know, 200 pound weights you got to lift. Dang. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, that's how you get strong, right? I mean, and those who get the worst weights to lift are usually the ones that get the strongest or have to become the strongest. So it's not necessarily the best thing to have an easy life. And maybe we choose to have a more challenging life so that to do more soul work and to be stronger for the next life. Because I think we got to look in terms of multiple lifetimes also. Yes. This whole idea of just one life and that's it is so ridiculous. Yes. But it's part of our materialistic culture to do that. So anyway, Judy, yes, you have your hand up there. Good to see you.
Hi, I will. What Gina was talking about, I just thought I would mention this. It's some stuff I've been really studying a lot lately, but it started with John Sarno's book called The Mind-Body Prescription. And this guy figured out how to help people that were having back trouble. And then it kind of expanded out to all kinds of different problems. And I've discovered somebody else now who has every day he does a new little short podcast. It's called painfreeyou.com. And he's totally into the whole Sarno movement. But it's so important because the message is, okay, make sure you don't have something really serious that needs to be dealt with in the medical profession if you must. But probably the chances are very, very high that it is not something medical. There's nothing in anything wrong with your body at all. And so then that throws the responsibility back on yourself to find out to do the work, the spiritual work, to find out what it is that's causing this pain or discomfort or whatever it is. And it's amazing stuff, and it's growing. It's a growing movement now where more and more doctors are realizing, you know what, cutting into your back and putting a rod in there is probably not going to help you. Let's work on what you're thoughts are. What are you thinking? And a lot of this, I think, like you were saying, Will, is all the stress in this world and learning through meditation and that kind of studying how to be at peace all the time, no matter what's going on.
Right. Yeah. So, Thank you.
Beautiful stuff. Yeah. So yeah. I highly recommend it.
Right. Thanks, Judy. Yeah, John Sarno, I think we visited you about a year ago, and I got a little book, I think it was from you, and started me reading it. I read it twice.
Yeah.
And I recommend it, actually, in my new book, The World Peace Way, because what he basically says is that we have mental stress, and usually the people who are the most perfectionistic get the most stress. You know, we want to be really good, and we want to do everything right, you know, and that stress is usually sort of semi-unconscious, but then it gets translated into what he calls tension. Can you do the choir? And tension is what in the actual body is what creates the pain. And the pain is there to help us to let go of the stress that is actually not healthy. So the whole idea is that the body is really our vehicle of enlightenment, and that these so-called problems, the pains, and he says almost anything. It can be not only chronic pain, but it can be actual like vision problems, hearing problems, all kinds of things, and they're basically psychological in origin. And he really recommends, like you say, just working with the underlying dynamic of that. And he's had great success. And of course, the big pharma hates him for that, I'm sure. But I think it's a great movement. It's very similar to the spiritual healing that we've studied, you know, Christian Science and others. And it reminds me of something I just wanted to mention. Madeline and I, yesterday, we were in, was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. My gosh, mm-hmm. we were in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Yeah, yeah. We were there because we had we were driving from Amarillo over to Little Rock, and so Hot Springs is on the way. So we were in Hot Springs, Arkansas, at the and they have a Hot Springs National Park. It's like downtown Hot Springs, and you see the history. And there are about 8 or 9. Hot spring resorts that were built in the 1890s to the 1920s. Huge, beautiful buildings of this old architecture with healing waters. And they were so popular, and people came there from all over the world, and they were completely what we would call holistic healing. And they had doctors there who would, people would come with, you know, what people used to have, like, you know, they would have lumbago and all these different things. And difficulty, you know, pains and aches and problems, and it was very holistic. It was so neat to just go through this museum kind of and see. They had parlors, because the doctor said you need like 5 things. You need the healing waters, you need healthy food, you need sunshine, you need exercise, you need fresh air, and you need positive social interactions. So they would have parlors where people, the women would get together and talk, and they had other parlors where the men would get together and talk, and then they had a gymnasium. You should see the old gymnasium from like 1910. I mean, it's got these ropes you could pull up, and it's got these they look like bowling pins you could, I guess, throw around, and they had some punching bags you could punch. I mean, it was so cute. It was just, you know, all old leather and wood, you know, kind of thing. And no machines like we have now, just a big room with rings you could pull up on, you know, a few things like that. And but the funny thing was these were thriving throughout the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, and then the guy, the ranger, explained it to us. And then in the 50s, the big the pharmaceutical industries just started coming in with all these drugs that would cure you, supposedly. And so they basically all closed down in the 1960s. They just nobody came anymore. The people said, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go to my doctor and get a pill. And so they all collapsed. Nobody came. They financially just went out of business. And they're just derelicts. And then luckily, in the 80s, the U.S. government bought it all up, the whole thing. And so now, they kind of resurrected. Now there's like 2 or 3 of them that are actually operating. And so we went to one of them. It was called Quapaw, that bathhouse. And we soaked in the hot, and it's wonderful. I mean, the water comes out of the ground at 145 degrees. I mean, it's really hot. So then you have, and it's amazing. The water goes down through the rocks. It takes 4,000 years for the water to go down to 8,000 feet below the surface. And then when it gets that far down, it gets really hot, and then it shoots up through these cracks, this 4,000-year-old water, right up. And they have in the town, they have these fountains. It's just squirting right out of the ground, and still right now. And then they put it, they take all that hot water and they mix it with cooler water, and then they have all these pools. They had a 95, a 98, 102, 104. You know, we could went in for $25. You can go in for the whole day. You know, it's like amazing. And it's this pure mineral water. And they have these stories of, you know, women and men who came and how they healed their arthritis, and they couldn't walk, and now they could walk, and, you know, back in the 20s and 30s. And it's so interesting how that whole holistic kind of approach to medicine has been wiped out by the pharmaceutical industry. But I think it's, you know, it's coming back, but it's really kind of a shame, you know, to see that that they couldn't survive, you know, anymore. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that. And Sarno, I think, is part of that, you know, the idea of getting back to the person and their life and their body as a living creation, rather than seeing it as a dead object. You just drug it like it's an animal, or not even an animal, like it's some kind of machine, some kind of mechanism. You just put some chemicals into it to change it. I mean, it's so perverse. It's so primitive. It's so barbaric. It's ridiculous. But in a way, that's where we're at, you know, with animal agriculture. So, but anyway, we're getting kind of over our time. Sorry to say. Lisa, you had your hand up. And so go ahead if you want to say something, and then Andy, and then we should probably kind of wrap it up here. We try to keep it to just an hour on this particular call. So yes, Lisa, good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you. Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. I remember you told me about Dr. Sarno when I visited you, and I read that little book, and it's totally in alignment with what I've been also doing too as a holistic practitioner. I mean, being a vegan acupuncturist, I've always interested in the optimum health and how we can help ourselves. And my mission is really to help support other vegans.
Right.
You know, to how we being see we. In order for us to share the vegan message, we have to be the change we want to see, and so for us to be the example of how we can embody what the mind, body, spirit, how our health is not just the physical, but it's mental, emotional, and spiritual, all the levels. And I definitely have a, you know, the biggest wake up call is my late fiance passing, and he was a raw vegan, and he thought he would live to 120, but you know, he had ugly divorce, and so the emotion that really hit me home, that the emotional aspect of our health is such a yeah. lot of it is an invisible killer to a lot of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The latest I come to discover actually is this book. I don't know, Dr. Tuttle, have you familiar with this book called The Essene Gospel of Peace?
Ah, of course. Oh, yeah. I read that probably 50 years ago.
Oh, I just come across it recently, and I really...
That's what's the name of the guy? Sekeli, Edmund Sekeli. Yeah, we went to Edmund Sekeli's house, and his whole center is in Mexico. Where, yeah, it's called La Rancho La Puerta, the gate, the door, and people come there, and he does these Essene healings. You know, they have these places where you can go and have this. They put in your own private place, and you can have the sun. You can be naked, and the sun, you know, blasts on you, and they have cleansing, all kinds of cleansing thing based on that teaching that he has. I gave a lecture to that place. It was really interesting. Madeline and I enjoyed it. It's pretty much vegan. It wasn't totally vegan, but it's pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
Not totally. I thought they would somehow.
I know. They should have been vegan, but we complained a little bit about the fact that they weren't vegan, and they didn't like it, and they never asked us to come back again. I think we were a little. We really thought, like, come on, you should be vegan. I mean, because that whole thing. But, you know, they're trying to make money. I mean, they're trying to please everybody, I think, and have a little bit of dairy. And I can't remember what it was exactly. But we really have to end. It's 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Let me really quickly share that. I wanted to share it with everybody that Dr. Tuttle will be part of this vegan retreat in February, the 3rd to the 9th in West Palm Beach, Florida. And you're all welcome to join us. It's a vegan optimum health retreat, and where Dr. Tuttle is part one of the speakers, and you save $100 if you sign up with Will Tuttle as the the discount code. So I just wanted to put it out there that
Thank you.
it's
Send me
a
the exact website and everything, and I can send it out to everybody or something like that. No, that's
Anyway,
interesting.
so I'm also one will be there also serving the community with my offering the ear. I do ear reading and eye reading. So I think really for us to actually get in touch with our body and really hear it from our body what we're dealing with. Sometimes we don't know what we don't know. But anyway, that's my little pitch
Thank you,
there.
Lisa. And thanks, Lisa also actually coordinated with a group in Taiwan to translate Food for Freedom and The World Peace Way, the two new books, into Chinese. And so they'll be coming out in Chinese, which I'm really happy to hear. So that opens up like millions of people who can read these books. So thank you, Lisa, for helping
You're
to
welcome.
facilitate that. Andy, we have exactly negative 1 minute left, but you say a few things. Yeah. And unmute yourself. You have to unmute. You're still muted.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry about that. I'll try to make it real quick. I'm glad you brought up Chef AJ. I listened to her talk today, and so I didn't know if she had the shot or not, but she mentioned a lot of anxiety, asthma, trouble breathing, things like that that she said she's had forever. But then it was interesting with this, she said, it was just surprising for me to hear her say so much about, like, she's going in for testing and maybe, I don't know if she said a biopsy or all this stuff, like, and I'm thinking, years ago, the whole way that everybody learned that vegan diets could help heal people was they had to go outside of big pharma to learn what heals people. And here she's going to big pharma to
I
get
am.
healed from something that I suspect they caused. Like, if I'm ever not feeling well and somebody hears me say that, they go, oh, well, go to a doctor. I'm like, I still want to live. Why would I go to a
I
doctor?
know.
I can't imagine going to a doctor to get well.
Right.
It's like they're there to kill you. And I'm like, how do people not see that? Anyway, I'm just like, okay.
Point well
That's
taken, I
a,
think.
that's all. Thank you so
Yeah,
much,
thanks, Andy.
everybody.
Yeah, I know. Madeline and I were saying the same thing. Like, no, we wouldn't. The last thing we would do would be to go to a doctor or a hospital if you want to get better. But whatever, everybody do what you think, but it's not our way either. All right, so let's have it. Thank you all so much for putting up with the kind of low quality of our video here. I'm glad we made it through, though. It's the adventure of being on the road, and it's very heartwarming to see your beautiful faces. I want to thank all of you for joining us. Great to see you. Thanks for joining us, Ken. I know you're in I think Chicago somewhere. It's good to see you. You're new, and good to see you again, Angel. So many people, Margie, Anne, all of you. I shouldn't. Tams, also Tams. It's so great to see you, and of course Kathy and Aradhana, Susan. Yeah, and Jason, yeah, you have such a beautiful face, such a beautiful smile. So thanks everyone for joining us. Let's go ahead and say our prayer that we all say together at the very end, for the circle of compassion that we've been doing at noon for many years. And Madeline's here. I don't know if we can get in together. We'll do our best. Let's see if we can turn. All right, here we go. Unmute your microphones. Make sure you unmute, and we'll.
Unmute.
Oh, okay, here we go. Compassion
circles
the earth
all
everywhere.
beings
Again,
Compassion encircles the earth, all beings, everywhere.
One more time with feeling.
Compassion encircles the earth, all beings, everywhere.
On the third Thursday, we'll be in, right. in Florida. And until then, multiply the message, enjoy your every moment, and stay in touch if you have any questions or anything. Much love to you all. Thanks so much. We're thinking of you.
Thank you, Will. Thanks.
Stay warm.
Thank
you, Will. Stay warm.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.